our hearts. Now, Isaiah chapter 40 is a chapter really that is very precious to the Lord's people. It's a chapter, yes, that has been likened unto really a treasure chest of precious jewels for the people of God to consider and contemplate. Verse 1 of the chapter there, you see, commences with a command to every minister, indeed every pastor and servant of God, to comfort God's afflicted people. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And really the chapter is a chapter that is full of comfort for the people of God and the church of Christ. In verse 3 of the chapter there we have a reference to John the Baptist, the forerunner, who was to prepare the way for Christ, the Savior of sinners, coming into this world. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And my, John the Baptist was the forerunner, preparing the way for the public ministry of Jesus Christ. If you go down to the end of verse number 9 of the chapter, there you see at the very end of that verse, there's a call to God's people to behold your God, for the people of God to fix their eyes upon the Lord God Jehovah. And in verses 12 through to verse number 17 of the chapter, there you have a wonderful picture of God's power and God's glory. Yes, every Christian, every child of God has a great God and a great Savior. Indeed, there is no other God who can compare with the God of Israel, the Lord God Jehovah. Notice how that description of God is summed up in verse number 17 there of the chapter. It says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. In other words, there's no God, false God of man, that can ever compare in any way was the God of Israel, the Lord God of heaven. And then whenever you go down to verse 27 of the chapter, you see there how God's people are rebuked for their despondency and their forgetting of God and God's greatness. It says there in verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. And then whenever you come to verse 29 through to the end of the chapter, which is really our text for this evening, you see here how God's people are exhorted to wait upon God for blessing. It says in verse 29 there of the Lord, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not walk and not faint. And here God's people are exhorted to wait upon the Lord. Now, self-dependence is something, yes, that may avail us in some pursuits of life. However, self-dependence is something that really avails nothing in the believer's witness and in the believer's work for God. You see, without God's power, the born-again Christian will faint in his witness for Christ. Indeed, without God's power, the child of God, yes, will fail in their work and in their witness for the Lord. Therefore, it is an imperative that every believer, every child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is, that they learn to wait upon God and wait upon the Lord for the Lord's help, for the Lord's power, for the Lord's blessing. And it's for that vital reason then that I want us to consider these words tonight, verse 29 through to verse 31 of the chapter. Yes, these words really show every believer in Christ the advantage, indeed the great blessing, of waiting upon the Lord. And as we would consider this truth tonight, the three things just I want to set before you. Notice first of all here with me the people who are described. If you look at verse 29 and 30 and 31, you'll see that on three occasions Isaiah speaks of those that are faint. He says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Again in verse number 30, he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. And then in verse 31 it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again, there you have reference made to that word, faint. And what does it mean in the life of the Christian or the life of the Church of God? Well, this faintness, yes, can refer to physical weakness, maybe discouragement, maybe fearfulness, the believer being afraid, being dismayed. And my such faintness, yes, can beset any one of God's children. Notice what Isaiah says there. And he says, even the youths shall faint. Even those that are noted for strength and vigor, he says, they can become a faint. And this faintness can happen really for a number of reasons. Yes, it can happen really through trials in the life of the Christian. Trials perhaps that are long and severe, maybe in the form of sickness, persecution, poverty, loss, disappointment. Paul and his fellow laborers had this experience writing to the church at Corinth. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul and his fellow laborers were at the point of despair, even despaired of their very life because of the trials that were pressing in upon them. Also, we can say further tonight that faintness, yes, can be caused, as it were, by a low state of religion in the believer's heart and life. Whenever the believer goes into Bypass Meadow and neglects prayer, the Word of God, fellowship with the people of God, and is taken up with the things of the world, then they can become spiritually faint in their witness for the Lord. This is what happened to the church at Sardis. Turning your Bible over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, and you'll see this from what is said to the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, and unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before me. And that really suggests to us here there was a fainting amongst these people here in the things of God, in the church at Sardis. Faintness can be caused by trials. It can be caused by neglect of the things of God, a departure from the things of God. Then faintness also, yes, can be caused just by a weak constitution in that person's life, maybe through physical weakness, nervousness, maybe a proneness to despondency. Timothy, to whom Paul wrote two letters to in the New Testament, was such a character. He was prone to such weakness. He had bodily infirmity. He was prone to fearfulness and nervousness and despondency of life as a believer. And for that particular reason, Paul sought to encourage him by saying, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he sought to encourage Timothy in his time of fainting. Maybe I'm speaking tonight to a believer in this gathering, and maybe you're going through a fainting time in your life as a believer, as a Christian. And perhaps you wonder, yes, is there any hope of recovery, of that recovery of spiritual strength and vigor and zeal that I once had? Well, believer, take encouragement tonight, for God knows your condition. God knows your state. Look at what Isaiah says about the Lord again in verse 27 and verse 28 of the chapter. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. There Isaiah was reminding God's ancient people that the Lord knew all about them. He knew their condition, their state. their very thinking. There was no, he says there's no searching there to the understanding of God. In other words, God sees everything and knows everything about us. And believer, take encouragement tonight in the meeting. The Lord knows your need. He knows the condition of your heart and your soul at this particular time. The hymn writer says, moment by moment, he thinks of his own. He thinks upon us. Think of the words of Hagar of old. She could say, thou, God, seest me. And the Lord sees us tonight. He sees us better than we see ourselves. He knows our needs. He knows our hearts. He knows our condition. Yes, we see here the people described. Notice secondly here tonight, notice the duty that is prescribed. My, to those that are faint and to those that have no might, notice what Isaiah says to them there at the beginning of verse number 31. He says, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. That word wait there really has a number of shades of meaning. In the verse, it really means to expect from the Lord. It means to look to the Lord, to hope in the Lord. The thought really is one of the Lord's people looking to the Lord in prayer with humility of heart, with faith. They wait upon the Lord for blessing and answers to their prayers. There is, if you like, that total dependence upon the Lord. My, that is how it is with God's creatures and creation. The psalmist speaking of such in Psalm 145, verse 15 says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, that thou givest them their meat in due season. The psalmist there speaks of creation even waiting upon God for its provision. And my, that is how it was to be also with the Levites in their service for God in the tabernacle. In the book of Numbers it says, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites from 25 years and old and upward, that they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were to wait upon the Lord. People, this is how it should be for all the church of Christ and the church of the firstborn. Believer, the place where God wants you and I to be in life as Christians is that place of waiting upon the Lord. That's where he wants us to be as his people, waiting upon the Lord. Turn back to Psalm number 27, Psalm number 27, and you'll see from the content of that psalm, it was a time of fainting for David. David says there in verse 13, he says, I had fainted. Yet look at the counsel that the Lord gives to him, indeed to us all. In verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Again, it says, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's where God wants you and I to be as Christians, in the place of waiting upon the Lord. Turn over again to Psalm number 37, just a little bit over again in your Bible, Psalm 37 and the verse number 34. Notice again the same counsel says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Child of God, that's where the Lord would have you and I to be in our Christian life, in our Christian experience, to be those who wait upon the Lord. Yes, this means us as God's people taking our eyes off self, off man, off the world, and off circumstances around us. Yes, it means us as believers getting to the place of prayer. It means us seeking the Lord in prayer. It means us confessing our needs before the Lord in prayer. It means us humbly waiting upon God in faith for his help, for his blessing in our Christian life and in our service of God. Indeed, it means a realization that every blessing comes from the Lord. As James says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Indeed, this was something that the hymn writer realized, for he spoke of the Lord and he said, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. He knew that every blessing in life came to him from the Lord. And remember what Christ said to the disciples in John's gospel. He said, without me you can do nothing. Brethren and sisters in Christ, how is it with us tonight? Are we those who are waiting upon the Lord? Yes, this is the duty that is prescribed. But notice one final thought here just from our text. Notice the blessing here that is declared. And you see that blessing really outlined there in verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You'll see there that the blessing is threefold. By waiting upon God, there is a renewal of strength. It says there, they shall renew their strength. In other words, spiritual faintness is replaced by spiritual strength. In answer to prayer, God accomplished this in the life of the Apostle Paul by the Lord's grace and power. For Paul himself could say of the Lord, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And Christian, whenever you wait upon the Lord in prayer, your spiritual strength will be renewed. It will be reinvigorated. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25, it says there, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." C.H. Spurgeon said, "I could no more doubt the efficacy of prayer than I could disbelieve the law of gravity." And just as the law of gravity is sure and certain, so the power of prayer is also sure and certain. And by waiting upon the Lord in the place of prayer, our strength, our spiritual strength, is also renewed. We can say further, by waiting upon the Lord in prayer, there is that breaking, as it were, of our ties to this world and our conformity to this world. Look again at what is said there in verse 31, "Of such that wait upon the Lord," it says, "they shall mount up with wings as eagles." That speaks of a rising up. Spiritually speaks of the Christian, as it were, rising up from this world and from the ways of this ungodly world. And Christian, by waiting upon the Lord, yes, our affections and our desires for the things of God will become stronger and stronger, and the pull of the world in our hearts and lives will become less and less. Turn over in your Bible to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, and look at what you read there in verses 1 and 2 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which